நரம் சைவ நரோத்தமம் தேவீம் சரஸ்வதிம் வ்யாசம் ததோ ஜயமுதீரய நத்தத்ரே சபத்ரேஷு நித்யம் பாகவத சேவையா பகவதி உத்தம ஸ்லோகே பக்திர்பவதி நைஷ்டிகே. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 41, Verse 24. Please repeat after me.
தாம் சம்ப்ரவிஷ்டௌ வசுதேவ நந்தனௌ வித்தௌ வயஸ்யை நரதேவ வத்மனா த்ரஷ்டும் சமீயுஸ்வரிதா புரஸ்த்ரியோ ஹர்ம்யாணி சைவாரூ நிர்போத்சுகாஹ தாம் சம்ப்ரவிஷ்டௌ வசுதேவ நந்தனௌ க்ருதௌ வயஸ்யை நரதேவ வர்த்மனா த்ரஷ்டும் சமீயுஸ்வரிதா புரஸ்த்ரியோ ஹர்ம்யாணி சைவாரூருஹு நிர்போத்சுகாஹ
புரா சம்ப்ரவிஷ்டௌ என்டரிங் வசுதேவா ஆஃப் வசுதேவா Nandanao, the two sons, Vrthao, surrounded, Vayasyai, by the young prince, Naradeva, of the king, Vatmana, by the road, Drashtum, to see, Samiyuhu, came forward together, Paritaha, hurriedly, Pura, of the city, Triya, the women, Harmyan, their houses, Cha, and Eva, also, Arurhu, they climbed on top of Nirpa, O King, Parikshit, Utsukaha, eager. Translation. The women of Mathura, please repeat. The women of Mathura hurriedly assembled and went forth to see the two sons of Vasudeva as they entered the city on the king's road, surrounded by their cowherd boyfriends. Some of the women, my dear king, eagerly climbed to the roofs of the houses see them. There's no purpose. I'm going to the next verse. Kaschit iparyatritta vastra bhushana vismritya chaikam yugale sthaparaha kirtaika patra shravanaika nupura nantva vitiyam tva aparaschalochanam. Translation. Some of the ladies put their clothes and ornaments on backwards. Others forgot one of their earrings or ankle buds. And others applied makeup to one eye, but not the other. Purport by Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Jaya. The ladies were very, very eager to see Krishna, and in their haste and excitement, they forgot themselves. So that's a one sentence purport. So now we are in chapter 10, and this is the Krishna and Balaram entering Mathura, that is, canto 10.
bit excited. 10 to 10 and chapter 41.
So what happens is, after, you know, in this particular chapter, what are you going to study or what are you going to understand or learn is, after showing Akrura the Vishnu form and then receiving the prayers from him, they reach Mathura, because the plan was by Kamsa to bring Krishna there so that he can kill him, finish him off. But Kamsa doesn't know the ultimate plan is Krishna himself. Krishna is going there to kill him, not be killed. Anyway, as they enter Mathura, what happens in this particular chapter is they see a washerman, and they want some clothes from that washerman, and the washerman refuses, so he gets killed. And then there is a weaver, and he comes and puts some clothes on top of Krishna and Balaram, and Krishna is very happy about it and gives him a lot of benedictions. You're going to have opulent life this birth. Next birth you'll get the same form as I am having, four-handed form, and he'll be in Vaikuntha. And then also he meets this the garland maker, Sudama, and this garland maker also adorns Lord Krishna with special garlands, and he's very happy and he gives some benedictions. So that is what we are going to study in this particular chapter. So there are different kinds of Puranas. Puranas means histories. There are what is known as Mahapuranas, there is Upapuranas, there is Jati Puranas, and there are Stala Puranas. So Mahapuranas are 18 in number, which you all know, 6 in the mode of goodness, 6 in the mode of passion, and 6 in the mode of ignorance. Now, those are Mahapuranas because it's got all the 5 angas, the most important elements or limbs of a Purana. It has got everything there. We will not go into the details now. Now, Upapuranas are supplementary Puranas explaining certain things that is not in the Puranas so that we will be able to understand better. Now, Jati Puranas, and is Jati Purana is sometimes like a Upapurana, it's sometimes it's like a Stala Purana. Stala Purana basically means, Stala means temple or auspicious place, and whatever happens in that place, in that temple, that has been written down. For instance, Melbourne, we have this temple here. If you ask the devotees here, they will tell you how in the first place, how they started before here, someplace else, and how they came, and how the deities were brought by Srila Prabhupada himself, and how they were installed, and lots of stories. So this is Stala Purana. But what happens is, all these Puranas are historical recordings, not only of mainly of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna himself. It is just not writing about Krishna himself, but most importantly, is intimate pastimes, loving exchanges with the devotees. So the devotees play a very, very important role in all these Puranas or recordings. And it's not that, and these so-called exchanges are called in Sanskrit as Leelas. And Prabhupada translates it as pastimes. Now, it is not that Krishna doesn't know how to pass his time. He's not scratching at what to do now. And then he's performing this. He's not trying to pass time, though the word pass time is used. If you look at, I'll give you an example. If you go to, in the Tamil language, you know, the word entertainment is passing time. Poludhuboku. How to pass time? I watch TV, I hear the radio, I read newspapers, you know, I'm passing time. The word is equivalent to entertainment. If you go to South India, you ask some guy, hey, what are you doing? Chumma, time pass. That's the word they use. Time pass. I'm passing time. So by that, the Lord is not doing that. Pastime means ours is a waste time. The Lord is a pastime. The pastimes are special incidents or special relationship with the devotees. In fact, in the Brahma Samhita, it is said, Leelaitena bhuvanani jayatya jasram. Because Leelaitena, the Lord descends into this bhuvanani, this material world, and performs pastimes. Why? Because he wants us to be attracted to him. He wants to win us over. We are so attracted to Maya. We've got no time for the Lord. We are being daily, we're being bombarded by billboards, advertisements, radio, television. Do this, eat this, sleep this way, you know, all the time. We are all the time concentrating how to eat, sleep, mate, and defend ourselves very nicely. We roll it down to one sentence. The whole material life is how to eat, sleep, mate, and defend. In fact, now, mating is even becoming more important than the rest. So it is no more eat, sleep, mate. It's mate, sleep, probably eat, and take whatever. So the point is, since we are attracted to Maya, the Lord performs pastimes to attract us, to divert. No, don't look there, look here. I'm here. Don't waste your time here. So that's what it means. So these leelas, what happens in a temple is actually, the leelas are like stills. You will say like a James Bond movie or a Tom Cruise movie or Amitabh Bachchan. So if you're outside the theater, you'll see stills. One is dancing behind the coconut tree and then he's holding his girlfriend. And then he's an old man because already, you know, in that film he's become old. So people get excited. Ah, Amitabh Bachchan, see, he's fighting here, he's becoming old there. The same thing, whether it's James Bond, a new one is coming, Casino Royale or something like that. The same thing. So the stills are there to give you a peek of what is going to happen inside the real movie to attract you. Similarly, these leelas, or the what happens is a still. In a leela, in a loving exchange between the Lord and his devotee, one still is the deity in the temple. Krishna kills Kaliya. So you have a deity there, Kaliya dancing on the hoods of, Krishna dancing on the hoods of Kaliya. Like that, each one is actually, like you see the forms of Jagannath Baladev Subhadra there. That is a particular pastime. And you say here, and you see everything is a leela. And the deities in the temple is actually still. Now why I'm saying this is because they write this Thala Purana means they'll write about this, whatever happened, how this temple was instituted or originated and how the deities came about and all that. But the beauty in India is when the Lord himself is personally performing the pastimes. Here we get the deities. Of course there is no difference between the deities and the Lord himself. But then you have, if you go to say Vrindavan and Mathura, every nook and corner they will tell you stories about what Krishna had done in that place, and there will be a temple there. Now I am saying all this because for Akrura, whom we studied so much in the last chapter, Akrura, who accompanies Krishna and Balaram to Mathura. Now he gets this, we understand that he gets this place, he gets his vision. So that place, if you go to India now, between Mathura and Vrindavan, there's a place called Akrura Temple. And there you can see Krishna is on one side, Balaram is on the other side, and Akrura is in the middle, he's standing there. And it is also, we understand that, you know, Akrura went into the Yamuna, so the Yamuna is there, should be there. But the Yamuna is not there today, because the Yamuna has shifted 1 kilometer away. You know, it's not in the main road, you have to take a kilometer into the main road, off the main road, and then it's still 1 kilometer away, because the Yamuna shifted over the ages. But the point is, that is the spot when Akrura, on the way to Mathura, they stop there, Krishna and Balaram go for a swim, and then they come and take rest on the chariot, under the shade of the trees, and then Akrura goes into the water. He thinks, okay, I'll go and take a shower. I'll go and take a dip. But when he goes in and takes a dip under the Yamuna, he sees Krishna and Balaram under the water. And then he's confused. Look, how can they are here? They were there and they're here. So he quickly comes out of the water and then checks under the trees and he sees that Krishna and Balaram are still there. Goes back to the water. But this time, it is not Krishna and Balaram anymore. It is Vishnu and Anantashesh. They are there. In fact, Krishna is trying to tell Akrura, because Akrura is so worried that, you know, that he's part of the scheme. He knows that though Kamsa invited these two boys, but his plan is to kill them. And he was so worried that, you know, these boys will be killed. So Krishna, in a loving exchange, is telling him, don't worry. We are Krishna Balaram. but we also Vishnu, and because they understand Vishnu and Anantasheshi better, so he gives this vision. And that's why there is a temple there. Also it is said that much later, Krishna takes the Brajavasis and shows the Vaikuntha planet in the same place. So there is a temple there. Now, the most important thing is, certain group of people like Mayavadis, as we call, cannot understand such loving exchanges between the Lord and His devotees, especially Mayavadis. They just can't understand. They said because of their basic belief that God is an impersonal feature, you know, He is dumb, deaf, lame, and so they can't understand how can a dumb, lame God have any relationship with anybody. That's their conclusion. Now I'm saying this because if you read Prabhupada's books, every third line Prabhupada will be writing, the Mayavadis, and they declare, you know, he keeps on saying that. And many of you from the Western world will not know the understanding. But if you come from India, it is the predominant understanding. Practically everybody is somehow or other guided by the impersonal or Mayavadi philosophy. So the point is that when the Mayavadi speaks, he says, like I'm speaking, I will say, I'm not speaking, you are not hearing. I am not here, you are not here. Everything is one. You, I, everybody is Brahman. There is no speciality. That is the conclusion. Now, Srila Prabhupada warns time and time again that such acceptance of such philosophy is sure to be a downfall in spiritual life. In fact, he says, this is the Mayavada philosophy is Vedic atheism. Which means they use Vedas and then with quoting the Vedas, but ultimately they tell you that God is not there. Whereas, like Buddhism, it is non-Vedic atheism. So that's how it is described. Now, very clearly, even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that Mayavadi Bhasha Sunile Haya Sarva Nasha. If you listen to the Mayavadi interpretations of the Lord and his pastimes, then everything is doomed. So, sometimes many people say that, you know, Prabhupada's method of thing in India, especially that his method of philosophy or teaching was not a very good method. That like he crossed the ocean and he gave initiation to Yavanas and Malechas and, you know, they kept getting so many things. But the point is, we say, like even in English we say, the end justifies the means. If you do some evil, but if the end effect is for good, then it's okay. Similarly, you will find that Prabhupada, though he crossed the ocean, he says, I will give up my sannyas to preach Krishna consciousness. Many people refuse to give up sannyas, but they were not preaching Krishna consciousness either. But the result is, you see Vaishnava temples or Krishna temples all over the world, almost 400. And today you and I, all of us are seated here because of that mercy of Srila Prabhupada. Now, the Mayavadis, you know, he's not only confused. That's okay, one person is confused, he's alright. But he makes it a point, his goal of life, to confuse others. This is where the problem becomes. In fact, if you read many of the great, of course the originator of this Mayavadi philosophy is Shankaracharya himself, but he expounded this philosophy for a particular reason. He had a reason for this particular thing. Now, whenever you talk about Mayavadi, there are so many stories we have heard. You know, there's umpteen stories. Prabhupada himself says so many stories. But one of my favorite stories is this. Now, before I go to the story, I would like to tell you about this one. Why is this confusion? Because the interpretation, they wrongly interpret the Vedic truths. For instance, you think, initially you think, I am this body. And every one of us thinks, you know, that I am this body. But after some time you realize that, you know, you things are not going the way it's supposed to go. And you think, what is life? And, you know, is this life? Is there something, is there more meaning to life? And probably you read the Bhagavad Gita or whatever. Then you start understanding that I am not this body. So that the first understanding is, I am this body. You try to keep the body so well, and then the second understanding is, you come to the conclusion, I am not this body, something else is happening to me. And the third conclusion is, then you understand that I am soul, I am Atman. But then, in the Vedic scriptures, many times it is said, Atman and Brahman are one. which means the Atma, the soul, the individual soul and the supreme soul, they are one. So immediately the Mayavadi jumps to conclusion, I am this body, I am not this body, I am spirit soul, I am God. So that's his jumping into conclusion. And that is the problem, that is the biggest problem. And this is the problem that's all over India. And not only that, they are exporting this problem all over the world. And so Prabhupada took it personally to keep on saying that, you know, this is the mistake, and he kept on attacking them. So the coming back to the famous story that I would like to tell you is, there was this guy, this big Mayavadi philosopher or Swamiji, and he had big following, his big ashram, hundreds of followers after him, running after him and asking him questions, and you know, he was talking about philosophy. So there was one chuti, which means one kudumi or one pigtail, which means a Hare Krishna devotee, you can say, a Vaishnava. He was thinking how to make this guy understand, you know. It is also said that by the mercy of the pure devotee, this Mayavadis, Brahmavadis issue will change, but Mayavadis will be difficult, but many people have changed. Now he said, how to make this guy realize, you know, that the folly of his teaching. So one day, he kept a plant in a very prominent place. That's a route that the Swamiji takes every day. So he put the plant there, and he had some water, and he was pouring water under the roots. Now you may wonder, so what's so fantastic about it? That's the way to do it, pouring water on the roots. But what he did was, he took the plant, he put it upside down, the roots were exposed, and he was pouring water on the roots. So this Swamiji was walking, and he saw that, and saw this guy, Hare Krishna, and he was watering the roots. And he walked away. And he was doing it, and then, you know, and then he went to the balcony of his big palace and watched him, and this guy is going on. So the Swamiji just couldn't contain himself, and he called his, okay, come here, what is this guy doing? Find out, how can he do this? So this guy said, alright, I'll find out. So he goes, runs to the guy and says, okay, what's happening? He said, yeah, I'm pouring water into the roots. Come on, this is not the way. My Swamiji says that this is not a proper thing to do. So, oh, he says that. Alright. Ask him that my defense here is that all the Shastras, what they say is that you must pour water into the roots. So that's what I'm doing. So how am I wrong? So go and tell your Swamiji. So this fellow goes back and tells, look, he's very adamant. He says, all the Shastras are saying, pour water in the roots, and that's what he's doing. Oh, this guy. And so the Swamiji himself, with this big following, and you know, hundreds of followers behind him, comes and challenges him, what are you doing, you know, how can you do this? He says, yeah, I'm doing what the Shastra says. Pour water in the roots, that's what I'm doing. No, but you have to have a proper understanding. You have to have a proper understanding. You have to understand the whole thing in its totality. Then, he said, okay, that's what you're saying. So that's what you're doing. So you also have to understand, if you, by your preaching, can take your disciples back to the spiritual world, then I can also make this plant survive. So that way, he taught the Mayavadi lecturer a small lesson. And of course, the story goes that he became, you know, it struck him, and he changed his ways, and he became a devotee himself. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, he keeps saying, you know, he considers this conclusion as I am God, as the last snare. He says, it is the last snare in the, Maya's ultimate snare in your spiritual life. You know, you're thinking that you're doing so many things very nicely, and then somebody will come and throw this bomb that you are God, and you're, wow, I am God. And then, you know, everything goes. So, I remember when I was a small kid, I used to go to this circus. I'm sure many of you have been to the circus as well. When I read about this ultimate snare of that Maya's trick, I was thinking about this. There's a clown. Actually, there are two clowns, and there is a ring of fire. So this clown comes and tells that clown, "Hey, come jump into the ring of fire." And so this guy wants to jump into the fire, but of course, you know, the clown makes, you know, he goes near the fire and runs away, and the whole crowd is cheering. And how can, you know, the ring of fire, how can I go through this ring of fire? It's very dangerous, I might get burned. So, and then this fellow keeps telling him, coaxes him. And so finally, you know, he pretends to be scared, and then of course, he knows what he's doing. So he jumps in through the thing and comes out victorious. And then he goes and, you know, shows his hands up and the whole crowd is cheering, oh, you have done it. While all this is going on, the other clown brings another ring of fire which is smaller in size. This time it's smaller in size. So, and then he turns back and he says that, and, you know, same thing happens. Then he jumps through and he keeps bringing, the other guy keeps bringing the rings of fire smaller and smaller and smaller. It's like almost impossible. And still he manages it. And the whole crowd is cheering. Now he brings a big ring with fire on it. So, and now this clown laughs, you know, this is so big, I can just walk through it. It is so big. It shouldn't be a problem at all. But what happens when he jumps through it, he stumbles and he hits his back and his back is on fire. And the whole, and he's running all over the place and the whole crowd is cheering. So it is like, you know, it is like the ultimate snare, Maya's trick. Now, so, we all know that Prabhupada went to America or the West to spread the Vedic culture, because when in the preaching field, when you say this, they will always tell me, oh, our Swamiji went to America even before that to spread Vedic culture. They will say that. As you all know, I am talking about Swami Vivekananda, and he went much earlier. But the reason for saying this is, like I always say, it is not attacking any person in particular. But we have to discriminate. That is our philosophy. I've always said that ours is Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. We have to, like when people ask Prabhupada, like Vivekananda, he says, Vivek who? What is his philosophy? He doesn't speak about what is the philosophy. So we have the highlighting of the philosophy so that we will understand, because somebody might tell you the same thing. He said, what is so great? Our Swamiji did even before your Swamiji did. But so the whole thing is, we have to discriminate, we have to understand what. That is true, but you know, Vivekananda has got the fame, he is also very famous by, like when he talked about bhakti, why tulasi, why not eggplant? Why worship the tulasi? You can't even eat it. Eggplant, maybe you can eat it. And he also goes to say that if you want to preach, you know, fill the belly first and then preach. Now Prabhupada didn't do that. He preached first. The bellies were automatically filled. Do we worry about filling our bellies? It'll be filled. We're going to have a big feast. But what the thing is, the philosophy, once you have the philosophy, the preaching is proper, then not only the belly will get filled, your mind will get filled, your body will get filled, you know, everything will get filled. You know, it's a total program. So, in fact, he was even asked at one time, what do you think about this Kalorin Guru? What is your plan to, you know, for an independent India or something like that? So Vivekananda is supposed to have said, I've got this 3B plan. I don't know how many of you heard of this 3B plan. He calls it the 3B plan for the Indians. All because there's an English writer by the name of Macaulay who has said that the feeble constitution of the Bengali. He had made a statement, because Bengalis are very small in size. But of course, they are very, very loud in their voice. But they are very small size. Prabhupada himself was very, very small in size, stature. So he said, so because of this comment by Macaulay, who is an English writer, that the feeble constitution of the Bengali, so Vivekananda brought out this 3B plan. Now you'll be shocked. The first B is beef. Eat beef. So that it will become big in size. So eat beef. Second was biceps, build up your muscles. Second B, biceps. And the third one is Bhagavad Gita. You see? He had it, but he was confused. He is there somewhere, but he's confused. Similar story is Ramakrishna, even supposed to have, you know, tasted. Now this is not, I'm not creating all this. If you have got the time, go and read all this. Romain Rolland is a French Nobel Prize winner for literature, and he has written the life stories of Ramakrishna and Vivekananda. All these things are there. Not only eating meat, Ramakrishna actually ate meat. When he ate beef and meat and all that, and smoking hookah and all that, some Hindu temples kicked him out. They won't allow him. He said, I want to realize Allah, so I go and eat beef. You know, and so there were Hindu temples just kicked him out. They said, you're not even fit to come to our temple. And there is what is known as Ahotris. There is a group of people who are, you know, they what they do is, as part of the penance, they are supposed to, they are not cannibals, as part of the penance they are supposed to eat human flesh. Now they don't go killing humans and putting a barbecue or doing a barbecue. What they do is, when there is a death ceremony and a cremation ceremony going on in the ghat, they'll go quietly sneak there and cut a nice piece of flesh, maybe the thigh or a calf or something like that, and then they partake. So when he went and joined this group, he said it is written there that he put it in his mouth, but you know he couldn't swallow it and he spat it out. But what I'm saying is, see, India misinterpretation of the Vedic truth, they go to so many misunderstandings and do so many things which is totally unacceptable. Now, in the history of Lord Krishna, for instance, there are so many pastimes that most of these pastimes you have heard. I was thinking of something that you might not have heard, and I thought I'll share with you today. Firstly, this is about Satyabhama. Now, Satyabhama is supposed to be the second queen of Lord Krishna, of the eight principal queens in Dwaraka. Now, it is mentioned here in Srimad Bhagavatam, when especially when killing of Narakasura, because Satyabhama is the one who goes with Krishna, and because Narakasura is actually is the son of Bhumi Devi, and Satyabhama is actually an expansion of Bhudevi. You know, there are three Lakshmis: Bhudevi, Sridevi, Niladevi. And because she is an expansion of Bhudevi, and Narakasura has got a special benediction that death can only come to me through my mother. So when Krishna wants to do battle, and Satyabhama says, I want to come with you, please hop in. And because Krishna knows, and in the battle, Krishna is supposed to have undergone some difficulties, and Satyabhama takes over the thing, and because of the benediction, because of the benediction, Satyabhama kills him. Now, often in the Hindu tradition, is considered to be a troublemaker. Now this is, you know, you probably would not have heard such stories, but it's not there in Srimad Bhagavatam, but some other pranas. Satyabhama is always fighting for attention. Krishna is always doing something that is like, you know, so much so she's considered, like I said, quote unquote, as a troublemaker. Now, one of these pastimes, what happens is, you know, Krishna is coming late every night, though he's got 16,108 queens in Dwaraka, and he has to make, you know, everybody happy. Then he comes to, when he comes to Satyabhama's palace, so she's complaining, why are you coming late every night, and I'm waiting for you here, and you're so late. So he says, the Lord says, look, I have to make sure that everybody is fed. You know, that's my duty. The whole world depends on me. I have to feed everyone. And once everyone is fed, and then only I can come back. So she says, oh, you don't tell me this story. You know, you don't tell the stories to some Hare Krishna devotee. You know, you don't tell me this. You know, and because Satyabhama comes from, you know, his father is King Satrajit, and he is a very, very rich person, and a lot of jewels, and, you know, a lot of things was given as dowry, and she comes from a very rich family. So she just couldn't believe that Krishna is literally feeding everybody. And she just couldn't believe that. So she says, she thinks to herself, okay, I must test this guy, whether this is true. She wants to test Krishna. So the next day, what she does is she takes an ant and puts into a tilak box and covers it. Let's see how Krishna is going to feed this one. So as usual, Krishna, in fact, he even comes more late the next day. And so the same old question, she says, what is happening? You know, why are you late? Even more late today. Well, look, I told you I have to make sure that I feed everybody. Are you sure you fed everybody? Yes. Including the ant in your tilak box. And Satyabhama was shocked. Of course, and she ran into the private chambers. She wants to go and check it out. And she opens the tilak box. And there was the ant. And nibbling on a grain of rice. So how did the grain of rice grow there? Actually, Krishna says, I put the grain of rice even before you put the ant. Actually, Kshatriya women have this custom. When they want to put sindoor or kumkum on their forehead, they take some rice and dip it in this thing and put it on the forehead. While doing so, the grains of rice had fallen into the tilak box. In fact, Krishna said, it is not only for 2 days, it's for a couple of days. I made sure that the ant will be, you know, will be protected for some time. And of course, Satyabhama was so happy. She said, oh, this is fantastic, you know, my husband. Such a wonderful person he is. And how nice. So suddenly this thought came to her mind. She said, oh my God, such a great husband. Why should I share him with so many people? I want him for myself and myself alone. So she comes to this conclusion. And when she came to the conclusion, she couldn't sleep. She's trying to sleep. She's now thinking how to devise a plan so that I can keep Krishna for myself. And just thinking and thinking, she can't sleep at all that night. And, you know, early morning, the sun is already rising, and then she's so anxious. And then she stumbles upon an idea. This guy, who always comes around singing Lord Krishna's praises, he's supposed to be a learned person. And who is that person? Narada himself. I think I'll ask Narada. Maybe Narada can tell me what to do. So he's waiting, and suddenly when Narada comes, you know, normally she's not very happy with Narada. So today was so much of an, oh Narada, oh Lord, please come in, I'm waiting for you, have something to eat. And, you know, so much of attention for Narada. And Narada's wondering, what is happening? You know, normally this lady is not so nice to me. All the special attention for me. So then she said, okay, are you comfortable now? And she said, yes, I got a problem. So what's the problem? Look, I want to have Krishna for myself. Oh my God, he said, oh, that's not possible. No, come on, you're such a learned person. You know all the Shastras so well. I'm sure there will be some method in the Shastras that will allow me to have Lord Krishna for myself. Then Narada was thinking for a while. Actually, there is, but no buts. I just want it for myself. But you know, there is some so many things involved here, you have to be careful. No, don't worry. You just tell me what to do. And I will do it. I just want it for myself. Okay, he says, but be careful. So he said, alright, this is known as Pati Dana Yajna. So what is that? Pati, husband, dana, give away, and the sacrifice, yajna. So, you give your husband in charity. Are you mad? I just said I want him for myself. And you are saying, give him away. Seriously, you're being just like any other woman. Just let me finish, he said. And he said, I have some additions of mine for the jokes. I don't think that the Purana said that. And it's the same, of course, you know, the woman can say man can say woman. It's the same. The point is, what I'm saying is that she said that, yeah, what you have to do is, once you give to a Brahmin, and once you've given to the Brahmin, and then buy back from the Brahmin by saying that I'll give you equal weight in gold or something like that. You know, Brahmins, they love gold. So you say gold, equal weight, he'll give away Krishna to you, and he'll take the gold. When he gives Krishna to you, when the Brahmin gives you something, that's for life, that's for eternity. So I said, yeah, but I have to get a Brahmin and a reliable Brahmin at that. Now I have a problem, where to get a reliable Brahmin? So Narada said, Satyabhama, don't insult me. I am a Brahmin and I am reliable. You can use me. Oh, she was very, okay, that's fantastic. Okay, we will devise the plan, we will do it, we will go ahead with the plan. So she said, Narada told her, but anyway, why don't you think about this for a few days? Don't make a hasty decision. He said, no, there's no time to think. I have to do it immediately. He said, okay, one condition. What is that? You have to get Lord Krishna's permission. Oh, that is easy. I can speak to you. No problem. So that night, Lord Krishna came earlier than usual. He said, how come you're early? Oh, Satyabhama, I know your anxiety, so I've come early today. All right. So what happens now? So she said that, no, I want to do the sacrifice. Oh, that's fantastic. Go ahead. You know, she's slowly, you know, telling little by little, not everything in one go, and then it might be a big no. So, and then she says, yeah, okay, go ahead. I'm calling Narada. Yeah, that's fantastic. And, you know, I'm going to give some donation to the Brahmin. Oh, all that is good. Then finally said, I'm going to do Patitana Yajna. So the Lord said, warned her. He said, Satyabhama, you have to be careful here. Are you sure you want to do what you want to do? Oh, if you really love me, you must allow me what to do, and you know, the whole thing. And so finally said, all right, if that is going to make you happy, but you must understand, I'm not yours alone. I'm everybody else's. I belong to the whole. I mean, everybody is mine and I'm everyone's. So still, okay, to please you, I'll agree. So the next day they called Narada, and that's it. He came, and she said, took the kamandal water, and said, my husband is yours, and gave Krishna to Narada. I said, Narada said, all right, thank you, I accepted it. Now, what is known as, they'll have to give weight, this is a scale, they call it Tulavaram in South, and I'm sure it's Sanskrit too, which means, Tula means it's a scale, a balancing scale. And what happens is, you give, even if you go to Tirupati temple, only people will sit there and give whatever they want to give. So one side Krishna is sitting, he's sitting there and the scale is up. Now you have to keep putting something so that it balances. You know, once it's balanced, then alright. So they were putting gold. They were putting gold on top of gold and gold and gold. But it's not tilting at all. The huge mountain of gold. And Krishna could not, the balance was not tilting. So in other words, Satyabhama could not, as promised, give gold equal in weight to Narada. So what happens? The contract is gone or failed. So Krishna now becomes Narada's slave. You can't give me, so I'm taking his, my slave. So he said, Krishna, follow me. Krishna dance, Krishna stand, come with me. And Krishna is going to the marketplace of Dwaraka. This is happening. So in the marketplace, and you know, he's bullying Krishna. It's a pastime, you have to understand, it's a pastime. And so the citizens of Dwaraka, you know, for them he's the king. And they get very angry. They said, oh, you're insulting our king. And they are drawing the swords. They want to kill Narada. So Narada says, oh, this is the way you treat people you saintly people in Dwaraka. That is your culture. You know, you ask him, you know, I didn't do it. He said he was given to me as a slave. He was given to me. And he's my slave. You ask him. He's not opening his mouth because I didn't give him permission to speak. That's why he's not even opening his mouth. And so he tells them briefly the story that Satyabhama gave him away. So the crowd now went to anger. They go, you know, all of them run towards Satyabhama's palace. And they were throwing tomatoes probably. They can't be throwing eggs, the Vaishnavas. Anyway, and there was a big uproar in front of Satyabhama's palace. And then Satyabhama was so angry and so disturbed. Because the people are saying, what are you doing to Krishna? You know, give us our king back. And she sneaks through the back door. And Rukmini's palace is just at the back of it. She runs into Rukmini's place. And she's old sister. Now she calls Rukmini sister, otherwise all the time fighting with her. So sister, please help me. And so what's happening? So she tells the whole story. So So she said, all right. He said, we can do one thing. We'll go back to Narada and we'll bargain with him. We'll ask him for another chance. So what happens is they run to, both of them go to Narada in the marketplace, and there Krishna is trying to cook, and Narada is telling, come on, hurry, hurry, I'm hungry, you know, get my food ready. And Krishna is saying, oh, this fireplace is not so good, and the wood is wet, and it's not burning well, and I don't know what I'm going to do. And this is a scene when these two people land there. And so what happens is, now Rukmini tells Narada, I said, you're a renounced person, you're a sannyasi. What do you want gold? You're a renounced person, you don't need gold. So Narada said, of course I don't need gold. I never asked for it. She's the one who gave me gold. So we can give you something that will be equal in weight and which will be even more pleasing to you than gold. I said, all right, I'm very happy about that. No problem. So they go back to the scale, put Krishna there, and Rukmini takes a tulasi leaf, and writes bhakti there and puts it on the scale, and that's it, the scale tips now. And Narada grabs hold of the leaf, and she's jumping for joy, and oh my God, this is what I wanted, and you know, he's running. And that's the way the story ends. But these pastimes, you know, they are different kinds of pastimes for different kinds of people actually. The Lord even performed pastimes with impersonalists, mayavadis. Now you might think, how can he do that? He will do that. He wants them to believe that what they believe is true, make them happy. He will even perform miracles or pastimes with atheists. You can't say, why are you doing it? That's God. We have to understand that's what he is doing, and that's what he is. And you know, he has got this, his independence, Swaraj. You can't question God. And we also cannot understand how he's, many times they'll, how is he doing this? He can't reveal everything. If he reveals everything, then we will also want to do what he's doing. So that is also not there. He's always hidden. And that's the way it is. And with that, I think I'll end the class here. Basically, I've tried to tell you that the Lord and his pastimes in various aspects. And we are going to see more and more his pastimes in the next few verses. Is there any comments or questions? No comments, no questions. I'm sure Mahatma Prabhu will have something to say. Yes.
Stronger faith. You have got strong faith in Krishna.
Who has got strong faith?
You have got strong faith.
Hari Maharaj, don't embarrass me. faith comes with, faith comes with experience maybe.
Service.
Whatever. Through Guru, whatever it is through Guru. Yes, Madhi. Basically, Brahmavadis, they are not offense. Brahmavadis means, that means they, okay, I'll make a very small definition of the two terms, Mayavadis, Brahmavadis. Now, like I said, Mayavadis, everything is one, you and I, everybody is one. What happens is, everyone is also covered by illusion. That's their belief. That means the illusory energy of the Lord, Maya, is covering all of us, covering Brahman also. But when you realize it and all that, then you go to Brahmajyoti, whatever. But because what we say is the defenses, like Ramanujaji argues, that if the illusory energy even covers God, then the illusory energy becomes more powerful than God himself. Is it not? If you are covered by Maya, fair enough, but even God is, that means even God is under the spell of Maya. So because of that, they are known as Mayavadis, because they give importance to Maya more than God himself. Now, Brahmavadis, so Mayavadis can be very offensive to the Lord. If you say anybody is God, they will be accepting it. If you say like Muruga is God, you know, anybody is God, your grandmother is God, or your mother-in-law is God, my dog is God, your cat is God. They are very comfortable. The minute you say Krishna is God, they will jump. How dare you say that? Why do you say that? Why do you spoil by saying Krishna is God? So they are very offensive towards Krishna. And the other thing is, of course, true Maya, you see, one thing, it is not one small definition. It is a huge range, you know, from here to there. It's a huge spectrum. But in brief, I'm just saying. Now, Brahmavadis, they accept the Brahman aspect of this absolute truth. The absolute truth as God, there is Bhagavan, there is Paramatma and Brahman. But they only have the knowledge of the Brahman aspect and they are very happy with it. But when told about the Paramatma and the Bhagavan aspect, they accept it. For instance, Suta Goswami, who is talking to the Srimad Bhagavatam here, as soon as he was born, he just walked away. Because he was a Brahmavadi, he was a born Brahmavadi, he's just walking away. And Vyasa is saying, hey, hold it, my son, wait, he's got no time for his father. In fact, the women folk, when they see Suta Goswami, he's walking naked. Sukadeva Goswami. And Sukadeva Goswami is walking away and is, you know, and the women are bathing and they see this naked man walking around, nobody is disturbed. Now Vyasa is running after him, fully clothed. The minute they saw Vyasa, they say, hey, Vyasa is coming, and everybody is grabbing their clothes. Because Brahmavadi is so totally absorbed in Brahman that nothing disturbs him. You see? So, but by the pure, by mercy of pure devotees, like the four Kumaras, they are Brahmavadis. And like that, there are a few here in the thing. And he said, these people, once they come in contact with, say, like a pure devotee like Narada or something like that, and then they become, devotees of the Lord. But of course, these days there are no Brahmavadis, real Brahmavadis. And you know, there are so many different kinds of Mayavadis. So Prabhupada just says, puts them all in one jug and says Mayavadis. See, there are Mayavadis who are, like Mayavadis generally, you know, good Mayavadis, who at least believe in law, karma, reincarnation. They are at least vegetarians. But the majority of the Mayavadis are not even vegetarians. Everything is one, you know. And you find that, you know, if you go to South India, you find, you know, Ayyars and Ayyangars taking their dogs for a walk. And if you ask them, what is this? And they say, the dog is also Atman. You know, this kind of conclusions. You know, yeah. Well, and then they even have, a devotee is supposed to have, sannyasi, whatever, devotee is supposed to have fire in his house 24 hours. So the cigarette is all the time, that's a fire in his, in the house. One comes down and another goes up. You know, so this kind of things, and they take eggs and they give explanation. You go to Mylapore, you smell fried eggs all over the place. And see, this is all new interpretation. I mean, I'm not criticizing. Like I said, we have to differentiate. We have to understand. Otherwise, you won't. Then everything is fine. And they probably, he'll be Nayangar who's giving a big lecture in, say, in Washington University and talking about Darwin's theory of evolution. And then when he comes for a holiday, he goes to Srirangam and, pays money, he does the puja. But he doesn't believe. He believes in the theory of evolution. He doesn't believe in what the Bhagavatam is talking about in evolution. So that is what we are not happy about. So we have to come to a decision whether you accept or you don't accept and what do you expect.